Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
It's just brilliant to, first of all, celebrate this step that some of you are doing this morning in being baptized. But it's also brilliant that you've invited your friends and your family, and I'm sure they're really happy that you're here. Because it's a day to be shared and enjoyed and celebrated. And it's also, for some people, it's a new experience to actually see this happen. Baptism is as old, I mean, it's probably 2,000 years old. What we're doing today is more than 2,000 years old. But for some of you, it may be the first time that you've actually seen this happen. And because sometimes when we see things that are new, we find it a bit strange. But if you experience something new for the first time, it's like, what is this? I don't understand. I don't know why this is happening. It's that weird church thing. Or it's those funny people. And, you know, I suppose you can quickly form judgments, which I did, actually. Before I really understood the meaning of baptism, I kind of thought one way, and it was definitely not the right way. To be baptized simply means to be totally immersed in water. One of the phrases we could use is to be dunked. If any of you have dunked your biscuit into your tea, that's baptism. It's a baptism in tea. But it's a total immersion in water. And it's something that Jesus asks all who believe in him to do. Now, this is, sometimes people can get confused about this because when you're a baby, maybe your parents sprinkled some water with the vicar or the priest. And in the New Testament, in the Bible, there is no evidence that sprinkling babies with water is what Jesus meant. And that Jesus meant that adults and children alike, that whoever believes in Jesus, not because of their family, not because of their upbringing, but whoever believes in Jesus actually is called to be baptized as an outward sign. It's like a picture of something different that's happened in their heart. Because whoever believes in Jesus actually receives a new heart. And the baptism water, as the people go under the water, it's a symbol of the old life going, like a death. And then the new life coming as they come out of the water. And by the way, we don't hold them down for long. It's not a see how long you can breathe moment. It's just a quick in and out. And then when you come up out of the water, it's a sign, just as Jesus rose from the dead. It's a sign that you have been raised to a new life. Now, to understand the baptism today, we really need to go back to the person of Jesus Christ, to understand Jesus and what he did. And the story about Jesus is the greatest love story ever told. There is no greater love story than the story about God sending his son Jesus. And I'll unpack that for you just in a kind of an illustration or an analogy. But we need to use our imagination, and you're going to really have to use your imagination this morning because I'm definitely not very good at acting, although some of you might think I am. If we use our imagination, I'm going to set the scene this morning and imagine a court scene. Imagine that you're in a court scene. Imagine I am the one who is being tried and that there is a judge in this court. Now, I know about the royal courts in London. Actually, my dad worked there for many, many years in the high courts. And you look there, it's kind of central, it's quite a central place for justice in the nation here. But if you imagine the court is heaven, and that God himself is the judge, and I am there being judged by God. But the most important thing to know about God is that he isn't just judge, but he can equally balance being judge with being love. So God is both judge and he is love. So the court scene is set, and I've been caught for speeding. And I've broken the law because I went too fast. There would be no need for justice or any law courts if there were no law, because we'd all do whatever we felt was right. So 90 miles an hour through a 30 mile an hour speed limit, we could convince ourselves that it's okay. And some of us have. But if we are caught, we are put into a court of law to plead our case. Oh, officer, oh, sir, your honor, it was the day I was having. It was the emergency that I was facing. But essentially, law gives boundaries. It actually defines what we can and can't do. And God himself is absolutely perfect. That's why God is called holy. And he absolutely hates lawlessness, or we could put it in this terminology, sin. But remember that God, as judge, is sitting there, and I'm kind of being judged for what I've done. But God is love towards me. He's compassionate towards me. Now the verdict comes, and actually it turns out I was speeding. So I actually did go over the speed limit. And so hearing the verdict, I am pronounced guilty. Now, this is a serious thing because I'm going to have to pay for what I did. But God, in his kind of understanding of us as people, he knows that all of us have sinned. In fact, the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So there isn't one of us in God's heavenly courtroom that could sit there and say, actually, I am perfect. Because in God's holiness, every lie, every deceit, every anger, rage, fit of rage, everything we've done to hurt others is actually sin in God's eyes. Because we essentially don't make up the law ourselves. And so God actually sees that all of us have sinned. Now, the Bible actually says that there is a punishment for sin, whether it's a big sin or a little sin. Because I used to think that actually I wasn't that bad. Has anybody ever felt they're not really that bad? I walked around thinking, actually, I'm really not a bad person. I help people. I do people good. I've never murdered anybody. I've never done what kind of I consider to be the big sins. But if you think of a target and you think of a kind of a bullseye, the bullseye is the target. And whether we miss the target a little bit or a lot, it's still missed. And so God as judge is saying they've all missed the target. But as a God of love, he is saying, I want to do something about it. They can't do anything, but I want to do something about this missed target. And so God says the punishment, it's already laid down, the punishment for sin, the wages of sin is death. Now that's a pretty serious punishment if you've only just missed the mark. But God actually is the judge, not us. I would like it to be less because I'd like to accommodate my own behavior. But actually God, he is God. And so he says, actually, the punishment for sin is death. As I was thinking about this yesterday, I was thinking, one of the most serious places on earth must be death row. I don't know if any of you thought about, in America, they have a place called death row, where those people have been judged criminals, and the sentence has been death. And if you like, God could say, at one time, all of us were judged criminals, and the sentence was death. And so this judge is there because of his great love for us, says, what can we do about it? And John 3:16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him will not perish, will not suffer the death penalty, but have eternal life. And essentially, God has made a way for us all to come off death row. And that way is Jesus. Jesus is God's solution for our problem. And so he sent Jesus to come and to set us free from death and sin. Jesus came and died on the cross. He took the sins of the whole world. He took my sin. He took your sin upon himself. That meant he was prepared to go in your place and say, Father, let them not die and experience eternal death and separation. And essentially, that's hell. Because hell is everlasting. It's not just a moment. He said, I want to pay the price and do this in their place so that they don't have to be punished with eternal death and separation from God forever. So Jesus died on the cross in my place. Now imagine being literally on death row and somebody going to the judge and saying, I will take their place. I will pay the price. Let them go free. That's why this is an amazing love story. Because God sees you as the greatest object of his love. Which is why he sent his son in your place to die. And to take every sin upon himself. But the amazing thing is that Jesus did not just die, he rose again from the dead, conquering sin, death, and hell for all mankind, for everybody, no matter what nationality, no matter whether you're Church of England or Catholic, whether you're a Muslim, it doesn't matter who you are, Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Now, this is the best news you could ever hear. That you and I can be freed from death row. But Jesus actually says the good news requires a response from us personally. That's why my parents could not believe for me and get me off death row. That's why if you're a child today, your parents can pray for you and help you. But in the end, Jesus will ask you, what was your response to what I did for you? And so, God says the response is twofold. He said, if you want to be free and come off death row into eternal life, there are two things that need to happen. First of all, now imagine, I'm the prisoner, I'm actually on death row and it's a miserable place. I'm not free, even though I might think I am. And this offer comes, you can be free. Well, what do I have to do? Well, you have to acknowledge that you were wrong. You have to acknowledge that you are guilty before a holy God. That actually I have sinned. And I have done wrong in my life. And most of us would be honest and say, actually, that's me. I have not lived a perfect life. And therefore, God is actually right to say that I am a sinner. But Jesus said, if you acknowledge your sin and turn and come off the wrong road, in other words, say, I'm not going back to that old life. I am not going to go back to how I used to live. I'm going to turn to God and get on His road, His path. That's the first thing that God says to do. Acknowledge you are guilty. Say, I was wrong. I don't want to go back to prison. I want to turn to Jesus as the way to my salvation, to getting out of death and hell. Then God says to believe the good news. And I have to say, this is the best news you are ever going to hear. Because God says you don't have to work your way to God, because you can't. But God worked for us so that we could find a way to Him. And that way is a total grace. That means an unearned gift from God. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But God wants to give it anyway. That's what God says. So to turn, to repent and believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe in my heart that He rose again from the dead. And I believe and trust Him that He alone is my salvation. He is alone is my way to heaven, my way back to God, my way back out of prison into freedom. That's two things that Jesus says to do. Can you imagine being on death row and only a few responding? But God wants everybody to respond to His gift of love and His wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. So I say, imagine, this is me. Lord, I'm guilty. I have sinned. I want to turn away from my life of sin and turn to You, Jesus. And I accept You, Jesus, as my Savior, but I also acknowledge You that You are the Lord, that You didn't just die for my sins, but You conquered Satan. You conquered everything that I might acknowledge You as Lord of my life and my Savior of all time. And in that moment, two things are going to happen. Immediately, God pardons you. And He says, you're forgiven. That means your debt's cancelled, it's removed. And actually, it's just as if you had never sinned. While the world might remember what you did, God says, because of Jesus, there's no record of your sin. But He doesn't just free us off death row, out of prison. Because I can be a forgiven sinner. You know, you can have people come out of prison and say, I'm a real reformed character, and they go back and do what they always did. So God has the solution planned. He doesn't just forgive us. He says, actually, they'll only go back unless I give them a new heart. Unless I actually change their nature from a sinner, a criminal, to somebody who has my nature, which is to be holy and to do right. So He gives us His nature. So we're not just pardoned, we're also given the gift of Jesus, who becomes my right standing with God and my ability to be right before God without shame or condemnation or guilt or fear. That's why this is such good news. That's why everybody today has the opportunity to turn away from your own life of sin, to choose to get on God's path. And God's path is a path that will do you good. And believe in him and he will forgive your sins and give you a new heart, put his spirit within you, and you will be able to live for Jesus in this generation. You will become a different person. A reformed character is one whose character is completely changed. A true believer is someone who was a sinner, but now has a new character. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is what is represented today, that when these young people go into the water, their old life is gone. They have acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as they come up, they're saying, I'm free, I'm forgiven, I'm loved, I'm accepted, and now I have power to live a new life. Shall we clap God for Jesus? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're just gonna pray together, and then
okay, well, we are going to invite those being baptized to come up to the front now. So can I have Tyler and Dan and Candice and Elizabeth and Becky? Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Can we all fit on? Just about? Okay. Right, I'm going to start with Candice then. Basically, they've all decided that Jesus is their personal Lord and Savior, and that has changed their lives. It's changed their eternity, but it's changed their lives in the here and now. And I'm just going to ask them, really, Candice, you became a Christian, what, about 5 months ago? Yeah? How has Jesus, I know you're not feeling very well right now, but generally, how has Jesus made your life better?
All right, let's get the list out. Right, well, Jesus has just changed my life completely and incredibly. I really couldn't name everything that he's done for me and that's been able to get me to achieve, because, quite frankly, you guys want to go home. So now that I have Jesus in my life, I'm happy pretty much all the time. And, yeah, even today, even though, yeah. He's made me find amazing people in fly in and out, in church and out, and made me find someone amazing that I can certainly see myself with later on in life. None of this would have happened without any of you, or without Jesus, so thanks.
Okay, praise God. Do you want to step that way? Okay, Tyler. We'll just shuffle along so we've got some more space. This is Tyler. And Tyler is especially happy today because his parents weren't too sure about him getting baptized. But you went, according to your mum, on and on and on and on that he wanted to be baptized. And in the end, they said yes, didn't they, this morning. So he's really pleased about that. So Tyler, just tell us a little bit how your life's changed then since you've become a Christian.
I feel happier inside and out. I made such friends at Fly, and I feel I belong. I know God loves me, and I love him.
Oh. These guys, they've written it down on Friday night. Kaz just said to them, put it in your own words. How has your life changed since you've become a Christian? So they wrote it out, and I know they're reading it out today, but absolutely, it's from their heart. So praise God. You know God loves you and you love him. Wonderful. Okay, Dan. You're tall, isn't he tall? Dan and Tyler, they became Christians around about the same time. So it's about 4 months ago, isn't it? So Yeah? There, thereabouts? Yeah? Okay, so you just tell us then, how has your life changed since you've become a Christian?
I'm happier now because I can trust Jesus more than friends, and I know he has a plan for my life.
Amen. He's got a plan for his life. Praise God. So he can trust Jesus because he knows Jesus has a plan for his life. I think that's really important. Kind of makes you feel secure, doesn't it, when you know your life's in God's hands. Okay, Becky. I think you've got a fan club out there, Becky, supporting you today. You became a Christian as a child, but you were telling me earlier, it's really in the last sort of 18 months that you've realised, I want Jesus in my life and I want to follow him. So just tell people a little bit why you're being baptised today.
He's given me such strength and security. It's just amazing, the faith that he's given me.
That's what he means, yeah. Do you want to say anything else? Okay. Elizabeth? Come this way. Okay, can we see? This is Elizabeth. And do you want to step there? Elizabeth, just out of interest, how old are you?
Seven.
But you're eight in a week's time, is that right? Yes. Well, I was talking to your mum earlier and she said you became a Christian when you were 4 years old. So that's quite a long time ago. But tell us, why do you enjoy being a Christian and how does Jesus help you?
Well, I know that he loves me and he's kind to me and he's always with me.
And does that really help you in school and stuff when you're with your friends? It helps you?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's give them a round of applause, shall we? Okay, if you want to go off that way. Okay, didn't they do well?
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186. Or overseas visitors, 0044-1823-664-186. Or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.